Now, this week is Organ Donor Awareness Week, running until Saturday. The key campaign message continues to be built around sharing your wishes with your loved ones about organ donation, with the theme, Don't Leave Your Loved Ones in Doubt. This follows the signing of the Human Tissue Bill into law by President Michael D. Higgins at the end of February. This means people will be deemed to be organ donors unless they've registered their wish not to donate. And I'm joined by a familiar voice, John Burns, the former Deputy Principal from Rice College, a founder of the Burns Study Centre, and of course, the man behind our educational advice slot. But John's younger brother was an organ recipient and his older brother was an organ donor. And indeed, you may have heard John in many ads on TV and radio touching on his story. John, thanks very much for coming in to chat about all of this.
Very welcome, Alan. It's nice to come in and maybe on a with a different hat on. I hope people are getting sick to death of listening to me.
Not when you've so much to say and so much important stuff to say. And look, you and your in-profile conversation, you kind of briefly touched on this particular aspect of your story in relation to two of your brothers. Would you mind fleshing it out for us a little bit? Because it all kicked off with your younger brother, who was an organ recipient. So can you tell us a little bit about him and the context of that?
Yeah, I suppose at the time I would have been studying in college and I was working in London on placement. And we got a call that Patrick was very seriously ill. And this has happened rapidly. He contracted non-specific hepatitis. I'm not quite sure the medical ins and outs of it. But this is a lad who didn't drink or smoke, or he didn't mess around with his health. And he picked up some virus that shut down his liver rapidly. And he was put on this super Euro call for a liver transplant. And the first call I got was that he was actually waiting to go into surgery. And we came over from London and he underwent a very long transplant operation. Now, back in the 90s, I think, yeah, it would have been. And it was slightly different then. And he took a long time to recover from it. And the biggest shock I got was, first of all, seeing him. Because you're seeing a person under and a massive amount of intubation and an awful lot of machines around the place beeping and whirring and everything else. And to realise then that your brother's life has actually been saved by the fact that somebody else has passed away and had the generosity to carry a donor card, and that physically worked. Mm. I remember at the time saying, my God, isn't this just absolutely amazing? And then I got to know a lot of people in the transplant community, and Patrick's wife, Sandra, her family has been afflicted in bigger ways and larger ways by organ donation, and they've lost others, well, mainly Amy, and Amy lost through a lung transplant. It didn't actually happen because of all sorts of stories, but you know, it's been part of our story then since that. So that was Patrick's first liver transplant.
And from the sounds of John, it all happened so suddenly, you know, to being close to death by the sounds of it. I mean, you're standing there in his room in the hospital, all the machines whirring. Yeah. And it sounds like it was such an accelerated process, all of this.
Yeah, it was in Dublin, and St. Vincent in Dublin, and the consultant doctor there had told us after the surgery that they'd got to him sort of just on time.
Okay.
You know, so that was something. And then, like, I mean, I was very young. I mean, we were trying to scramble money together, get flights home, trying to stay in Dublin overnight, keeping an eye on him and that sort of thing. So, yeah, Patrick got his liver transplant, and after a long time of post-op recovery, he lived with that new liver for, I think, the best part of 19 years. And within that time would have found love. He would have got married. He would have held down a job. He was moving into maybe a manager's position in one of the garage shops there down in Carlow. And he was really bouncing. He was kind of moving along, and he did have health issues because of the transplant, but like, he was alive.
So it gave him a second chance at life.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And it also inspired your older brother, what happened to Patrick, to become an organ donor.
I think, yeah. I'm not sure if it... That was maybe a long-burning process. Hmm. Because Patrick had married Sandra, and they were sort of very conscious of the organ donation situation, Robert would have been around a lot of people who were going for, you know, immunosuppressant therapies to make sure that there was no rejections. So he would have known that, and he would have known that Robert would have kept alive because of the liver transplant. Now, subsequently, later on, when Robert passed on tragically, he took his own life, and we discussed that the last day in the In Profile, or In Focus. I never realised that Robert was as healthy as what he turned out to be it sounds strange post-mortem, because when he passed on, he actually donated three organs. He had donated both his kidneys and his liver. And I wrote something lately, well, not lately, when I was asked in the hospital when Robert was on a ventilator, and when we knew that there was no activity in the brainstem, and we knew that everyone knew that it was only a matter of somebody's going to have to make a call here.
Yeah.
And that was not an easy call, I can tell you. Mm. But the call was made, and then a very, very, very nervous, never forget her, a very nervous nurse approached me in the hospital, and she said, did your brother carry an organ donor card? And this is, if I may, this is what I wrote then to the organ.
By all means, yeah. If you wouldn't mind reading it for listeners.
The question was, do you know if your brother carried a donor card? The question was put to me in Kilkenny Hospital after Robert was declared dead following a road traffic accident in Carlow. And the lady who posed the question did so with immense tenderness, nervousness and in real earnest. Her eyes were smiling, and I see her now almost as an angel of life. Quite simply, others were waiting on a new lease of life, and time simply was of the essence. Biological systems cannot wait. Robert did indeed have an organ donor card and expressly wished to donate his organs should the eventuality arise. He once said to me, give them everything except my brain, which is probably empty. He had a pithy humour for a young man of 44 who struggled with his life. And many people in Kilkeelan will know Robert and will know Patrick. Robert was a real rogue. Donating organs is not a matter of moral or ethical quibble in my family. If we end up in a situation where our organs can sustain the life of another being, then we'll then go for it. My other brother Patrick was an organ recipient twice. He suffered catastrophic liver failure at the age of 23 while working in a Galway hotel. His transplant allowed him to live to 42, and a second transplant was done but failed, unfortunately, due to sepsis. In the time after his transplant, Patrick got married, found love, built his career and lived fully. We shared a dark sense of humour and I really adored him. I adored his donor, and this is vital in the transplant journey. Robert and Patrick were joined at the hip as boys and young men. Their bond was alive in such a human and loving way. You did not see one without the other, and they played in the band around Carlow when they both settled down, often after weddings. Robert struggled, but Patrick, myself, Carmel, our sister, and Martin, our other brother, all kept him on the rails. Robert was a bit of a wit, a prankster but intelligent, and loved to debate issues down to their roots. The article that I'm reading now was actually much harder to write than I imagined, but I got a lot of help from my husband, Tom, and he's kept me going throughout this difficulty, because the transplant journey doesn't end with the transplant or what happens after. It is difficult to lose two people, no matter what. Dying, I think, is part of life. Indeed, as humans, we need death from a purely existential level. And the fact that we are aware of our own mortality is, I believe, comforting. One must live life, suck every ounce of energy out of it, travel, move, love, argue, fall, rise, experience everything possible and create as much as you can. I believe at a visceral level that our bodies carry our essence in this life. The body can fail or become the victim of accidents. Life can end much more swiftly than we wanted. But facts are facts. Most people would have died unnecessarily had donors not indicated their consent to allow transplants. To me, it is bizarre beyond belief that healthy organs are allowed to expire when their potential to promote life is so patently clear. Of course, this is a hugely emotive and intertwined with ethical, moral and religious and legal considerations. For me, I do a kind of a helicopter image, and it's not morbid. It's my view based on experience and moral vision. Let's say it becomes clear that my life cannot continue after an accident or an illness. That's fact one. There are countless others on life support needing help. That's fact two. My organs might be healthy. Hopefully that's fact three. Do the transplants. Fact four. We value life. We see the huge impact transplants have on all stakeholders. As one life fades into its next realm, the body can add days and years of life to other people who are waiting. When Robert donated his liver and both kidneys, he promoted and supported life. Three people are alive because of Robert's generosity. And when Patrick donated his liver, when Patrick got his liver, he gained life. He got 20 years of it when he became the recipient. These facts keep me steady and in some ways allow to miss them both in a very kind of a real and beautiful way.
And that was beautifully written and read, John, and really gets across why organ donation is so important. And I guess, look, just to finish, 600 plus people are awaiting an organ donation and transplant. We've all heard about the Human Tissue Bill, but people still might not know that consent for organ retrieval will continue to be sought from the families of all potential organ donors, which is why the theme is don't leave your loved ones in doubt. Let them know what you want to be done with your organs, which I guess is an important message to finish on and to get across from this week.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And we're going the right direction in this country. We have one of the highest rates of organ donation in the world. And I think President Higgins has set the stage again to move us forward. It's nice to be automatically opted in because it is going to extend and save an awful lot of other people's lives.
John, thank you so much for sharing more of your story and indeed your brother's stories and the just how important organ donation is. John Burns, thanks as ever for being with us this morning.